It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Welcome back to The Checkup, our weekly look at how healthcare is changing in Maryland. Our series is focused on how the Affordable Care Act is changing healthcare in the state, and there are many questions about why Maryland's Health Insurance Exchange website isn't working better. But right now, we're focusing on another big development, one of the biggest changes in Maryland's health system in four decades. The change will give Maryland hospitals incentives to make sure patients don't have to be readmitted and incentives to reduce the cost of care. Maryland will also keep its power to set rates for all hospital services, a unique authority for a state to have. And here to talk about the changes is Maryland's Health Secretary, Dr. Joshua Sharfstein. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
And also with us is Carmela Coyle, President and CEO of the Maryland Hospital Association. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Sharfstein, the changes are coming as a result of Maryland renegotiating a waiver it gets from Medicare to set hospital rates. For a listener who has had no reason to think about the relationship between the state and Medicare, what does the waiver do and why do we need it?
So what the waiver does is allows for Medicare, which insures Maryland seniors and many others, it allows for Medicare to pay the rates set by Maryland's Independent Rate Setting Commission for hospital services. So in Maryland, each hospital gets its own rate structure from this independent commission, and all payers pay those rates, including Medicare. In every other state in the country, Medicare pays Medicare rates. But in Maryland, Medicare pays Maryland rates. It's been a great system. It's been here for four decades. It's allowed for an absence of cost shifting from one payer to the other. It's allowed for hospitals to fairly distribute the cost of uncompensated care. And it supported medical education at our medical schools.
So why did it need to be renegotiated?
Well, what needed to be renegotiated was the basis for Medicare's participating. The original rules were that Medicare would participate as long as we kept our prices for hospital admissions below a certain level.
So essentially, Medicare had to be saving money in Maryland to want to be part of this?
On a per-admission basis, the price of each hospital admission had to be low. So Maryland did that. Maryland did keep those prices of each hospital admission low. The problem is, over time, we've really changed the goals in the healthcare system as costs have gone up, that our goal isn't just to keep the price of each admission low. Our goal really is to reduce the number of admissions by keeping people healthier. The problem is, as we reduce the number of admissions, the admissions that are left may be more expensive, and so the price per admission actually goes up. So by moving our healthcare system in the right direction, we were hurting ourselves under the old way of calculating Maryland's waiver. So what the new waiver does is it says, we're not so worried about the price of each admission. We'd like to see Maryland control the costs, the total costs for inpatient and outpatient hospital stays. And if you can do that, then Medicare will keep participating in Maryland's system.
Carmela Coyle, how will this change how hospitals treat patients?
This will really be a dramatic change, we hope, for the way in which Marylanders experience their hospital care. That is, hospitals will no longer be paid to do more simply by treating more patients. Instead, part of this agreement, we will see hospitals moving to the use of fixed or global budgets. And by doing so, hospitals have an entirely new incentive, and that is not just to focus on hospital care or acute care services, but to truly focus on the broader health of the people in the communities that they serve. So for a typical individual, today they may come to the hospital, and they may stay in the hospital 3 to 4 days. But at the end of that stay, that may be the end of their connection with their local community hospital. Under this new agreement and the new incentives being set up, it is now in the hospital's interest to make certain that before the patient leaves the hospital, that they are reconnected with their primary care physician. The hospital may, in fact, make the appointment for that primary care physician visit. The hospital will review medications with the patient, likely follow up 2 days after admission to check on an individual's recovery. So what patients will experience is a much clearer care path, and the hospital really serving as the quarterback of their care to make certain that they're connected in the community to all of the other services that they may need, with the hope, as the health secretary has said, of being able to control the overall cost of health care in Maryland not just hospital inpatient costs.
Well, as I understand it, this new deal between Maryland and Medicare is already in effect, correct? I mean, this is...
Yeah, we expect it to take effect as of January 1st, 2014. And it's real important to know it's not just about cost. Part of the requirements are that we see a significant reduction in readmissions, which is when patients have to come back to the hospital within 30 days of leaving, as well as a significant reduction in hospital-acquired conditions. For CMS, the federal government, they see this as a real opportunity to accomplish what they call the triple aim, which is improving the experience of patients, just like Carmela was talking about, where people will see more help in staying healthy outside the hospital, lowering costs, and improving outcomes all at the same time.
What I was trying to get at, I appreciate that. What I was trying to get at is, I mean, are you hospitals set up to do this already?
There will certainly be challenges. What was announced on Friday was the agreement to a framework. There is an important set of next steps that the state rate setting commission needs to implement, and those are all of the operational aspects of how this system will work. We expect they'll make some of those decisions soon, retroactive to January 1st. But to your good question, there are pieces of this that hospitals, not only in Maryland but nationwide, have been working on, ways to think about better coordinating care for patients. But there are pieces that still need to be put in place. As an example, hospitals will be looking to make investments in information technology that will help us better coordinate care for patients. Human resources like care coordinators and care managers to make these calls, to do the follow-up. There are pieces that still need to be put in place, but I think it's fair to say, given that we've been working collaboratively with the state over the last couple of years in creating this framework, we will have an opportunity to hit the ground running.
It's Carmela Coyle, President and CEO of the Maryland Hospital Association, here on Maryland Morning 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast, and also with us is Maryland's Health Secretary, Dr. Joshua Sharfstein. We're talking about how Maryland's healthcare system is changing. Josh Sharfstein, what safeguards are there to prevent hospitals from providing too little care if there's pressure on them to...
Sure. Well, I think there are a couple things. First of all, some of the core measures in this model are how the patient feels satisfied, satisfaction surveys, outcome measures for quality within the hospital. And in fact, there's some very aggressive goals, as I was saying before, for quality care, but in the ER and on the hospital ward. So there'll be extensive monitoring for quality. And it's not just enough for things to stay where they are. For this to succeed, those measures have to improve. And, you know, people may ask or may hear this and say, I don't understand how you can get a better outcome and a lower cost at the same time. Shouldn't you have to pay more money? And part of the fundamental insight in this model and in healthcare in general is that when you're paying for more things like more admissions, more readmissions, more procedures, you get a lot more of those things, but you don't necessarily get better health. To having a community that has many, many, many admissions and you can't get to the primary care doctor because they're all booked and overworked, and so you get sick again and you come into the hospital, that's a very expensive community. There are a lot of admissions in that community, but that's not a healthier community. That's probably a less healthy community than one where there are fewer admissions. People can get to the doctor, do get the kind of follow-up care that Carmela was talking about. So really these goals of better health, better patient experience, and a lower cost really do go hand in hand.
You look like you want to jump in.
And I was going to add, what is unique about Maryland is we've put our finger on changing the financial incentives so that everything that Josh was just talking about, we know, it's been documented, that there is excessive, unnecessary care that is delivered not only in Maryland's hospitals but in the nation's hospitals. We know that there are duplicative services. We know that there are duplicative procedures. What's different and what we're trying to do in Maryland and to be a model for the nation is to say we're actually going to change the financial incentives so that it is no longer in a hospital organization's financial incentive or the health system's financial incentive to do more just to be paid more, and it will force hospitals to really focus on providing care at the right time and in the right setting.
Maryland hospitals have already been leaders in this effort. And in fact, there are some pilot initiatives across the state, mainly in rural areas, where some of these new types of financial incentives have been tried. I went out to Cumberland, Maryland, and visited Western Maryland Medical Center, where it is sort of like I've described as the anti-gravity world for healthcare, because you go into the hospital, it's incredibly quiet. The day I was there, I think it was 60% of the beds were filled. You go to the emergency room, there are teams of people who meet with each patient to make sure that they've got a plan upon leaving the emergency room so they don't come back, and because they couldn't get the care they needed. And they actually send a nurse to visit every nursing home patient upon discharge to make sure there's a smooth transition. It's because the hospital has a global budget, and the fewer people who need to come back in their community, the more that they can keep in margin and then invest in community services. They've shut down part of the hospital. And you talk to the CEO there, Barry Ronan, who was the CEO before, and he says it's a much better way to run a hospital. There's a cultural shift underway, and it's not quite that they have a sign up in the hospital that says, "We hope to never see you again." But it's the concept that our job here is to help keep you healthy, not just to take care of you while we're here. And it really has inspired the staff, and they do a tremendous amount of partnering with nursing homes, public health agencies, behavioral health agencies, and others. It really opens the door to aligning hospitals with other parts of the healthcare system that are really working to keep people healthy.
We're talking, though, about a waiver to the state's relationship with Medicare. Medicare is for, as you pointed out earlier, older folks, folks over 65. So, and yet you're talking as if this is going to have a lot of impact on all patients.
Right. Well, that's because in Maryland, we have a all-payer system for hospital payment. It is all payers. It's Medicare, it's Medicaid, it's Care First and Kaiser and all the private insurers. Everybody participates. It's the only system like this in the country, and it's pretty incredible. And that allows us to create these full incentives for the hospitals across all payers. The reason we need the Medicare waiver to accomplish that is that no other state could do this unless Medicare switched off the usual way that it paid.
What does this mean for the amount of money that Maryland gets for healthcare from the federal government? Will that change?
I think that it, you know, that what it does is it assures that Medicare will keep participating in the all-payer system. And in doing so, there will be some cost savings both to Medicare and to Maryland. The savings in this agreement to Medicare are $330 million over 5 years compared to the national trends in hospital growth in Maryland. Because of this, we also expect to see some significant cost savings. And that's not just to the state government. That's to insurers and, by extension, to individuals and families.
And that leads to some of the challenges that hospitals will face in doing all of this. I'm pleased to say that the Maryland hospital field is supportive of this new agreement and the direction in which we're moving.
I need to ask you why. Because the cost review commission that Josh Sharfstein mentioned has really kept hospital profit margins quite low recently, and your association has been worried about that. So why is this good news for you?
Sure. It is because of the strong support for the rate setting system that we have here in Maryland. We do believe that it is one of the most egalitarian systems for providing health care in the United States. People who are uninsured also pay the same rates as everyone else because of the all-payer system that we've described, unlike in the other 49 states where people who are uninsured may pay hospital prices that are 400 and 500% higher.
But can your members function and make a profit, those who need to make a profit, under this new system?
There are challenges, and therein lies one of the most important questions. One of the challenges is we are undertaking this new approach at a time when hospitals are at their greatest financial strain in 40 years. We've got about 40% of Maryland's hospitals currently losing money, so timing is a challenge. These are also ideas that have not yet been tried or tested on this scale. So that will be a set of challenges for hospitals as well. And really, this cultural shift that we've both described from a focus just on acute care to a focus on the health of the population or community is really important. But as the hospital field looked at this and weighed maintaining the rate setting system we have, the stability, the predictability, and more important, an opportunity to be a leader for where we believe healthcare needs to go in the nation. That, at the end of the day, outweighed some of the challenges that we may face. We will have to monitor this very closely and make certain that we continue to have the resources to do well by patients.
I think that's completely true. I really admire the commitment of the hospitals to this. I think that from my perspective, what I did for the last, you know, year or 18 months and talking to a lot of different hospitals is say that, you know, right now their way of making profit in Maryland, they're mostly nonprofit hospitals, but margin, is to just make sure all the beds are filled. Some hospital CEOs said, I know how we're doing by how busy the cafeteria is in the morning. But now that's shifting, and there are different ways that hospitals can make a margin. And in fact, under this new agreement, if the community is healthier, there are fewer admissions, the hospitals can actually do better. And we see in the pilot hospitals, like I was saying, in these rural areas, that they actually have a better margin than some of the other hospitals, in part because if they can do things creatively, capture, you know, that budget and actually think about what it takes to keep people healthy, they can, it sort of like opens a whole new line of business for them.
Here's another example. In the current way of doing things, and even in the rest of the United States, if you have a patient with a heart attack, the hospital is looking at things like, did we give that patient an aspirin when they got to the hospital and when they left the hospital? What these new incentives do, of course, we'll continue to do that, but it begins to have the hospital look at, what is the cardiac health of our community, and what can we do in terms of obesity and smoking cessation to really deal with cardiac health before patients need to come to the hospital?
I need to shift gears and ask you something, Dr. Sharfstein, about your other role as chair of the Board of Trustees of the Maryland Health Benefit Exchange, the website, and the Maryland Health Connection. The Washington Post reported Sunday that state officials knew there were problems with the rollout of the Maryland Health Connection and the state's online health insurance, knew there were problems a year before it opened in October. Why was nothing done to head off those problems?
Oh, I don't think it's true that nothing was done, and I think it's a pretty complicated story. Actually, I think on Tuesday this week, I'll be testifying in Annapolis, and we'll have a chance to get into a fair amount of detail on that.
Well, part of why I ask, aside from the fact that it's obviously a story that Maryland's interested in, the coverage, as Carmela mentioned a few minutes ago, other states will be looking at this. Part of why Maryland's hospitals are willing to do the Medicare waiver is to be leaders. Do you think Maryland's experience with the Maryland Health Connection and the exchange being so screwed up, frankly, makes Maryland less of a model for other states?
Well, I think it's mixing apples and oranges. The waiver and the system of hospital payment, I think, is attracting a lot of attention. We had an article in the New England Journal of Medicine last week. People from all over the country are very, very interested in seeing what happens here. You know, we're not the only state that's had some rocky experiences with the website, and there's a lot that we're doing to fix that. We have over 160,000 people on track for coverage right now, and that's more than half the way to our goal by the end of open enrollment. So those are the kinds of things I'll be talking about, as well as, I think, more of a comprehensive explanation of how we wound up where we wound up.
Well, look, I appreciate you both explaining the Medicare waiver to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Joshua Sharfstein is Maryland's health secretary. Carmela Coyle is president and CEO of the Maryland Hospital Association. We've got more of this interview and more episodes of The Checkup on our website, wypr.org/thecheckup. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, how art can have an impact on a neighborhood. Stay with us on 88.1.